Welcome to the Inspired Teacher's Guide podcast. We are Kim Wilkins and Laura Woodridge, just two teachers trying to podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us. On this podcast, we will be talking in and outside the classroom.
Welcome back, everybody.
Everybody.
We're so glad y'all are back. You know what? I listened to our last podcast, and I'm going to try not to sound so Southern. It's so bad. I am such...
Goodness, Brooks, we were talking about accents not too long ago, and he said, "Do I have one?" And I said, "Yes, you have one."
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't, and it's okay. Don't be ashamed of it.
It is very Southern, and I've had this cold for like 3 weeks, and I don't smoke. It sounds like I'm a smoker, but not. I've never smoked, so I don't know. I just can't get over it.
When Luke, our oldest, was little, every word, like every one syllable word had about 14 syllables in it. And I realized then, I'm like, okay, we do have very thick accents.
We do.
Dog, when you could tap it out forever.
I know. We can't hide it very well, but it is who we are.
That is correct. Okay, listeners, summer's coming, and that is exciting. The last 2 weeks, we've been sharing fun books and just books that we love and are excited about. I have thought of so many. I just wish maybe every episode we probably need to share. I was trying to think. Oh, I did remember the... Instagram account that I was trying to think of that I spelled out and was like, make it work. And I got so tickled when I mean, I've been following this girl for years, and I figured out, I looked at her name on Instagram and I was embarrassed, but it's TBR ETC. So like your to read list.
Oh, okay.
And I have never realized that was what it meant.
And now you know.
Yeah. I have a friend, Krista, and for 2 years, I just thought that her Instagram tag, just like that she loved these numbers and included it. And then I realized, oh no, it helps spell her name. You know, when you look at something, you don't really analyze it. So,
yeah.
No, I was thinking about books. I'm just trying to load up my Kindle and get all ready. And so it's just exciting. But today we are going to focus on professional text. And boy, do we have a variety for you. And these professional texts, some of them may be old, but these are old and can stand the test of time. I'm going to use these books forever. And Kim and I have only chosen books that have been, I'd say that they've been profound in the way that they've shaped us as teachers. Would you agree, Kim?
I agree. 100%. Yeah.
And I so, do. You know, one thing, if you don't know about Kim and I, is we are geeks about all this stuff, and we love to read to each other and send each other quotes and things like that. We're going to not geek out on you tremendously. We'll try our very – we're showing great restraint today, everybody.
Yes.
Kim's got us a little structure to, you know, do some books about management, do some books about math, writing and reading and things like that. I do encourage you, if you teach math, to just kind of stick with us throughout the episode, because a lot of these books are going to transfer to your content area in some way. All right, you ready, girl? Okay.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. So management, or just overall learning. Now, Kim and I believe that behavior impacts instruction, but instruction impacts behavior.
It does.
And so you will see a lot of that melding together. So we'll kind of flip back and forth between behavior and instruction, because we believe those are two factors that come together to impact management.
Absolutely.
Okay. What you got for us, Kim?
Well, my first book that every teacher should have is The First Days of School by Harry Wong.
Mm-hmm.
It's old. It's older than me, mm-hmm. but, and that's old. but well, it might not be older than me, but it's as old as my teaching career for sure. And I didn't know what to do because you don't know what you don't know. So I just had that book. And if Harry Wong said do it, I did it.
Me too.
And I still refer back to that practice, teach, practice, 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 those routines. I literally, I went through it and every little procedure that I thought I needed in my classroom, I did it the way he said to do it. And it has definitely stood the test of time. And I think that's where we mess up as teachers, is not setting up those routines before we try to get into, you know, all the work of school.
But, or just thinking that, you know, you taught some procedures the first 2 days and you're done. Like,
yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. Or just tell them. Yeah. These are our rules. No. Yeah.
Oh, tell them your quote.
If teaching were telling, we'd all be geniuses.
So to piggyback on Kim's, Wong also has a book called The Classroom Management Book. And the only thing it has in it is procedures. And he follows the model of that teach, rehearse, reinforce for, I mean, I can't tell you, like 40 or 50 different procedures. This is so a book we should have written, Kim. It'll take a procedure and there's pictures included. And then the steps to teach it are there for you. So, and of course, you can modify it, but it really gives you a great structure. So if you are a new teacher or a teacher who, you know, thinks I need to amp up my classroom management, if you've read the first days of school, you may check out, it's a brown book called The Classroom Management Book. It's a good
okay.
one.
That's a good one. I don't have that one, Laura.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can look at mine. I pretty much have it memorized, so you can look at mine. Let's just go back and forth. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm showing you my book because listeners, can't you see me? this is a book I was introduced to a long time ago, and talk about standing the test of time. So a lot of people have heard of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Covey has a version for teachers and students called The Leader in Me. The Leader in Me. And I love this stuff. My friend Morgan, her school is a Leader in Me school. And so they do this school-wide, implementing the 7 principles, sharpening the saw, first things first, and all those things. And I have just really encouraged people that your school doesn't have to do it. You can transform your classroom by instilling these 7 principles in your students. It is just so good. Oh, Emma French, I'm just thinking about you. This would be so good for you to do in your classroom. Just a little shout out. If you can instill these principles in your kids, I really think they could be the life skills that transfer. So,
oh, that's good.
I highly recommend The Leader in Me.
So there's one that's similar to that. It's called The Essential 55. Remember that one by Ron Clark? And it is 55 principles that he implemented in his classroom with his students. And I read this years ago before the Ron Clark Academy back in the day. And I really think that's a good one too, Laura, that transfers over to life, like saying thank you, being appreciative, those kinds of things. Yeah, I think that one's a really good one. He wrote that, I think, while he was still teaching.
Okay.
It's really a cute cover too, because he's got on a sport coat and shorts. Yeah. Well, it's 55 lessons.
Okay.
That you can teach your kids about respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And guys, we cannot demand it if we don't model it. You know, that is a huge two-way street thing. So.
Oh, yeah. And he does. Mm-hmm. He did. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. I've got 2 that kind of deal with trauma-informed instruction. And one of them is called Fostering Resilient Learners, Strategies for Creating a Trauma-Sensitive Classroom.
Oh,
And I have forgotten, listeners, I told you last time I would forget, and I did. We will have all of these books linked for you in the show notes, so don't stress about writing everything down. Fostering Resilient Learners and Relationship, Responsibility, and Regulation, Trauma-Invested Practices for Fostering Resilient Learners. The authors are the same, so Sowers and Hall. But those two books, I have gotten some ideas for just not just my trauma students who have experienced trauma, but just for everybody to instill in my classroom.
Okay, I literally read one of these, and I do this to Tim, bless him. Bless his heart. Remember when I first went out with him, Laura, years ago, and y'all said, don't read to him. Don't read to him, Tim. Bless him. But I did read this to him, and he and I had great discussions about A Framework for Understanding Poverty by Ruby Payne. She has Emotional Poverty, A Framework for Understanding Poverty, a sixth edition. The sixth edition is out, and I don't have that one. Bridges Out of Poverty. But A Framework for Understanding Poverty, if you read that, it helps you so much understand just this culture of poverty and how we can, you know, really make a difference for our students. Mm-hmm. And because if you did not grow up in poverty, and I did not, I don't understand that. Now, we were not wealthy by any stretch. My daddy was a policeman. I mean, we were my mother was an insurance agent. We were just normal people. But there's still this culture of poverty that you just don't get, even if you grow up and don't have a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? My mom went to college. My dad did not, but he, you know, they're just working people,
right.
Working class people. But I still had no clue.
Mm-hmm. I just think that book for me, and I have gone back to it over and over,
mm-hmm.
just clued me in to some things that I thought were correct, but were not.
Yes.
And moves that I have corrected in children that I viewed as disrespectful, but they were not. You know, like just
like not looking you in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if you teach in a school that has a population of children economically disadvantaged, this is a must read for you. And even if you read it a long time ago, I think it's very much worth revisiting.
I think so too. You know, there's a church in our hometown, Laura, that had her in, Ruby Payne.
No way.
Rick Freeman had her come in and they did a conference with her. And she spoke and they studied that book for reaching people. I mean, that is a brilliant thing to do.
I'm going to tell our preacher about that. You know, like we have the Witt House, you know, a house that serves. Yeah. And I've never thought about the transfer to churches, but my goodness, that's.
Yeah, yeah. That's
way to go.
Because we get real churchy, you know.
We do.
We do. We get real churchy and it's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think for teachers, we do the same thing. We have our jargon. We speak, you know, we're intimidating.
Yes.
And so for parents to come in and into our world, that is very intimidating.
I think about conferences. Having student work there, having books that exemplify what you're looking for, like making conferences as relatable as possible and really focusing on simplifying your language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no acronyms, nothing like that. You know, we are huge in education, shortening things down to a mnemonic or something. So we've got to make sure that we really approach that correctly.
Ruby Payne does have a book that says I don't have it.
Okay.
What Every Church Member Should Know About Poverty. And it's by Bill Ehlig, I think. I'm not sure. Or Ehlig. Ehlig, I'm not sure. Ehlig and Ruby Payne.
Okay.
And it's $9.99 on Amazon.
Hey, that might be a great Sunday school thing.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, another book that has really, well, this is just an author, and you love him too, Principal Kefele.
You know, I've had many conversations with him. I wrote to him. You all are going to find this hard to believe, but I wrote to him. We have been in communication several times. I don't know him. I feel like I do, but you know, he's so kind to write you back, and not everybody writes me back that I've write to, but he does. He's fantastic. I think he
needs a podcast letter to him. So,
oh my goodness.
Yes.
Laura, you're brilliant.
Okay. One that has mattered so much to me is Closing the Attitude Gap. And I have done workshops on this with quite a few schools. And it was the knowledge that I shared with them from him was very profound for the participants. But the one I'm holding in my hand is the Teacher 50, Critical Questions for Inspiring Classroom Excellence. But really, I mean, he has got leadership books, the principal, something about the principal, the assistant principal. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has a book for you, and I think they're so approachable, you know, mm-hmm. just well-written books that you walk away with ideas. So Principal Kefele.
I love him.
Yes, we do.
We're going to get him. Okay. There's another one. I have not read, but I want to read it. It's called Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Classroom?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And she asks, is this self-segregation problem, is it a problem to address, or is it a coping strategy? It seems like something I would really learn a lot from and would like to know more about.
And I think,
and then there's another one that I think I'd like to read. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just thinking about, you know, in our area, we have a bunch of students moving in from other countries. Mm-hmm. They're speaking other languages. And I'm seeing this happen in the lunchroom and things like that. So this may be a book that needs to be on everybody's radar.
Everybody's, yes. That's right.
What other book are you referring to?
Well, I haven't read it, but it's called For White Folks Who Teach in the Hood and the Rest of Y'all Too. Oh. I just like the title by Christopher Emden. He says, drawing on his own experience of feeling undervalued and invisible in classrooms as a young man of color and merging his experiences with more than a decade of teaching in an urban America, he offers a lens on approach for teaching and learning in urban schools, which we don't teach in urban schools, but I still think that would be...
The information is going to be appropriate.
I think it would be relatable.
Yeah. Hey, a book that you made me think about that my friend Charlotte and I read 2 years ago is I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. By Austin Channing Brown. Man, it was good. Make you think. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. I know this guy, and he is my friend, Stephen Chura, who I just can't say enough good things about. He and his wife wrote a book called Achievement Teams. And many of our schools that we know of have been implementing PLCs, but he really wrote this book to amp up PLCs and give you practical strategies. And he's just such a nice man and relatable and understands education. You know, like he's not the guy on the stage that doesn't connect and understand. He's a great Instagram follow too, and I just love him so much. So Achievement Teams, I recommend it to you.
That would be a good one. How did you meet him?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just crazy. The year you left me. I went to a data training and he was the trainer. And
we just
connected and followed each other on social media after that. He had just left a superintendency in California and started doing professional development and was a great, I mean, like the best data training I've ever been to. And then we reconnected last year. I reached out to him to ask him about becoming an author, and just a fantastic guy. So,
oh, that's the guy. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So, okay. What else do you got for us?
Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire by Ray Fesquith. Did you have that one too? No, Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire by Rafe Esquith. I loved that book. It's very motivational. It makes you think when you're reading it, dang, I'd like to be a kid in his class.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, you might have lost some of your fire this year. I know that teaching has been very stressful, and so that might be a great read for you.
He has his students do recitations, and he figures out ways, I don't know if he's still teaching, but to take his kids to places that they would never have the opportunity to go. Took them to Washington, D.C. because of the recitations that his students do. And I find that fascinating. At my grandson's school, they do monthly recitations.
Okay. Interesting.
It's very interesting. His book is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I concur there.
2007. That's, you know, it's pretty old. It's 17 old, years old.
A goodie.
And I read it when it was brand new.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. One that I know has been very important to both of us is John Hattie's work. And he's also been important to my friend Steve. He's got a book called Visible Learning. And literally, like, my pages are falling out of it. But he synthesized a huge amount of research to analyze the practices that we implement in schools, like retention and just everything, really, in school suspension, et cetera, just so many things we do. And you can look at the effect size of it, so the impact of it.
We've referred to that a lot, haven't we? We use that a lot.
I literally refer to it weekly when I'm working in schools. Like, it is always coming out of my mouth. And what you do is you can read about, like, he'll explain the research to you and show you the impact that it has. And what he's done is collected research from all kinds of schools, small, medium, large, diverse, you know, whatever. So making sure that he is not just reporting on rural schools, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
So, and then he also has other books like Visible Learning for, I'm trying to see it, Visible Learning for Mathematics. So there are different versions of this. But
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So that's a math book, people. Mm-hmm. But just, I think sometimes when we really reflect on practices in schools, we just assume that, you know, oh, we just have always done that. But really, when you look at the research, it does not prove to produce fruit. So I definitely recommend Hattie being on your shelf.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, total participation techniques.
So, I mean, talk about transforming my life. This book transformed my life. I became a much better educator with this book. So,
I'm going to make a podcast, a post on. I want you to take pictures of your books because people need to see what you do to a book. I love it. It's tabbed up. Oh, it's great.
I got papers falling out of it. So total participation techniques. You need this book. If there is one book you're going to buy, this is yours. Because
this is the
humans do not learn. Bored kids do not learn as much as they can. Mm-mm. And if we are not focusing on engagement, we are not truly teaching. Okay.
That's right.
Can you believe I said that this week in a workshop? I really did.
You did. I can believe it.
This is my passion, if you cannot tell. So, and we need strategies, guys, to help us engage our kids. It's no easy task to do that. And I love this book. Sorry to take over your book, Kim, but I mean, I could be their marketing.
No, I want you to talk about it.
At the beginning of the book, they just talk about engagement and just help you understand it. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the book is just so easy to understand with strategies. So, and if you are a student of mine, yes, remember, this is a required book that we read. But I want you to go back and reread chapters 1 and 2 before you start teaching next year. It is something to remind yourself of. So the students would always make fun of me because I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is something you have to know. So they were like, okay, if you only could tell us 5 things, if you could teach us 5 things, what would they be? And the model of the cognitive engagement model is one of my top 5.
Okay.
Probably one of my top 2. But
okay, top 2.
Okay, would you get that anything about
you're
your
right. But you're exactly right. Like if you can only buy one thing,
yeah,
one book, you should get that book because it's something that you can actually do in your classroom.
Yes.
It's very practical. So yeah,
so
definitely.
So mm-hmm. Okay. An oldie but a goodie is Anything by Jensen, Eric Jensen. Teaching with the Brain and Mind is a book I have loved. He's got for students, rich teaching, just anything.
Yes.
And again, gives you the research behind it, but it's delivered in a practical way. And then you will leave with ideas. If you're listening, Eric Jensen, which I know you're not, I would love to be a trainer for you.
You would be so good.
Thank you.
I think he should hire you today.
I think so. So, okay. What else, Kim?
That's really all I had on my list for management. Did you have anything else?
No, you have one that you just forgotten about. I'll say the name and then you comment on it. David Sousa.
Oh, you know, I met him. He came when I was at UALR and how the brain learns people. I mean that he signed my book, Laura. I'm just saying.
I'm jealous.
I know. I love anything about the brain.
Oh,
anything.
How the Brain Learns has a one general manual, and then they have one for how the brain learns mathematics, how the brain learns to read, and how the special needs brain learns.
So, need that one. How the special needs brain learns.
Yeah, you do. Now, I will tell you, listeners, that this is the most whole. You have another book that you want to share too. I know it. But it gets a little sciencey, but then it goes to very practical information. I mean, I have so many highlights. It's just ridiculous. I mean, look at that, Kim.
I know.
Most
I know.
Highlighted. So, we have to understand who we're teaching. I mean, that is TESS, knowledge of students, how they learn. And this is a book that will help you so much. The information processing model that he shares in here is my other two.
Yes.
You know, if I had 2 things I could teach you, actually there's 3. If I had 3 things I could teach you, the information processing model from How the Brain Learns and the TPT model. And then I'll share one more, but yeah. Can't recommend it enough.
I know one. Oh, go ahead. Tell me my other one.
Make It Stick.
Oh my goodness. Yes. What is wrong? If you could see where I am, everything is boxed up and I can't. Yes. Make It Stick. I have done workshops on Make It Stick on that. Yes. Yes.
Okay, give
all
us
all that repetition and
it's how to spaced, get money to stick.
Spaced, spaced repetition. Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yes, it is such a good book. That actually that was recommended to me by my friend Debbie Webb. Debbie's son was in medical school, and that was required reading for them at the beginning to help them learn their content, to know how to study and how to make it stick. Make it stick.
Yes.
So there are several principles to that, and it's a great read.
I mean,
and we can come do a workshop on it at your school if you need it. Yeah.
We sure can. We love this book. And it does start off a little sciencey too, so don't get scared. Stick with it. But, you know, if you – and Kim, you just made me think that this is a great book to read with your college kid, or if you are trying to pass a test or something, but definitely for you to be instructing kids – because a lot of the practices we do to help kids, you know, learn things are not effective. They don't really make it stick. You know, if the kids are not holding on to the learning, then this is a book that you can read and implement some strategies through. It's just great.
It is a great book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
What else you got? You didn't say anything about conscious discipline.
Oh, well, it's next on my list.
Okay.
I have quite a few that I'm just going to run through really quickly, okay? So conscious discipline, I will always, always say that this is something that you need to wrap your brain around. This is building resilient classrooms, and it's talking about our brain and creating a true learning environment. It's just so good, not only for teachers, but for parents and coaches, anybody that's a human that's dealing with other humans, because these principles aren't just for kids, they're for adults too. Okay, an author I love whose books are great, but overwhelming, I will say that, is Kagan. So I'm going to roll off my top three favorites of Kagan. Number one is Win-Win Discipline.
That's a good one.
I love it. Another classroom management support for you. And literally, I would tell my students, like, look at this tabbed up book.
We're going to take a picture of that one.
All 4 years of your college education, we could spend on this just digging into it. But such good. You know, we just do not want to create classrooms that are based on compliance. We really want to create great classrooms that build skills, and that's what win-win discipline is all about. My other two favorites from Kagan are Kagan Cooperative Learning. So like the Total Participation Techniques, it was loaded with strategies. So is that book. And it will explain to you what true cooperative learning looks like, because I think there's a big misconception of what cooperative learning is. And the other one, which is my other three in my three models I would share with you if I got to teach you three things, is the Brain Friendly Teaching book by Kagan. So another book that's full of information and tips. Okay, I only have five more to share. Okay, this is... These are going to be, all of these can go for parenting too. So we'll shout out Ross Green, because we do every episode, is The Explosive Child. Can't recommend it enough. And Lost at School by him. So both of these they equip you with knowledge and approaches and strategies. If you are dealing with inflexible children, explosive children, children whose behavioral challenges frustrate you, these two books are fantastic. Fantastic.
Must have.
Thank you, Ross Green, for helping me. Oh, and this is an autographed one.
Ross Green. We love to quote Ross Green on here.
In 2001. So, all right. Another book. It's a parenting book, but so transferable to coaching and teaching is The Worry-Free Parent by Sissy Goff. Talk about a book that you can underline and underline and underline on. Really talking about anxiety and how anxiety impacts you and how we can understand ourselves and then help others. So, but I just cannot recommend this enough as a gift, as a baby gift for people, and as a teaching.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of times anxiety looks like attention problems,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't.
Right.
It's not an attention problem. It's really an anxiety problem. Yeah. Okay. Great okay. ones.
Two more quick ones. I have a few more. We love Todd Whitaker.
Yes.
Transforming School Culture. Let me look at it. It's blue. I think it's called Leading School Change. I can't really see it.
It is Leading School Change.
If you're a school leader or moving into a coaching role or a leadership role, Courtney Young, you need to read these two books.
That's one of the first ones we read together, Laura. I remember, and we wrote notes in it. And then the assistant superintendent asked to look at our book, and we had all these very personal notes written in there. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, man. If you have my Transforming School Culture book, I'd really like it back if I let you borrow it. A book that my stepmom recommended to me, and boy, has it enhanced my life, is Executive Skills in Children and Adolescents. It's a practical guide to assessment and intervention. So, so many of the things that we get on to students about or get frustrated that students do are linked to their executive skills. I think we should do a podcast on executive skills, Kim.
I think so too.
But this is definitely a great book for you to read and understand. And as parents, it would be great too.
Yeah, let's make sure that one gets linked in there because I need to read that one.
Yes. And two more that are just general. And we've talked about this book quite a bunch on the podcast. It's another one that's tabbed up, is All Learning is Social and Emotional Learning.
That is so good.
So good. It would be in my teacher gift basket if I were just super rich and could just give new teachers the book.
You were Oprah. It's under your chair. Yeah.
That's right. And my last one, I got it. My last one that's just general, and it is just focused on school leaders, is Jim Knight's work, which has really been instrumental in Kim and I coaching and learning.
Yes. All of his coaching books are really good. I still pull those out and refer back to them.
Oh,
they're really good.
Whenever I meet a person who's going into academic coaching or leadership, because if you're a principal or assistant principal, you are coaching. I mean, that is a huge deal. Or even if you are a mentor for a novice teacher, or if you are a grade level rep, this would be a great book for you. His work would be great. So I think he's got the definitive book of instructional coaching and just everything. I mean, literally, I would say that he probably had the most profound effect on me of teaching me how to coach, other than you, Kim Wilkins.
You're sweet.
Well, that's true. So, okay.
I have one, Laura, and I can't find it. It was called Student-Led Coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And I have used that, the principles of that. I don't know where. Do you have that book?
No, I do not.
Or Student-Centered Coaching or something. I'll
picture it.
Student-Centered Coaching, I think, is what it is, by Diane Sweeney.
Okay.
Diane Sweeney's the author. That is The Essential Guide for Student-Centered Coaching. what every K-12 coach and school leader needs to know. And it's really good about how to make that whole coaching about the student and not so much about the teacher. And as a literacy coach, that's what I always try to do, is really think about what are the students doing and how can I help this teacher reach the students, instead of what does the teacher need to do, right? Mm-hmm. So if you focus your coaching on working with the students, it's not, I mean, that's hard. It's hard when you're not an administrator, you're certainly not evaluative, and then you're trying to coach teachers. It's tricky. It's a little tricky.
Yes. Okay, Kim, I think we're going to have to talk about our content books on another episode.
Well, that'll be good.
We're already 43 minutes.
So okay.
Turn into a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like I was thinking general books that are on my radar for this summer? I have two that I want to read, and I am inviting anybody who would like to read and discuss it with me. I already have one taker. Madison's going to read them with me, and I bet Kim will too. But they're what Lindsay Kane shared on episodes 40 and 41.
Yes.
So Punished by Rewards is one that I really want to investigate. And Beyond Behaviors. Those are two books that are in my Amazon cart right now, and I'm going to take on reading this summer. So,
okay.
Okay, listeners, hopefully you've got some ideas to really amp up your teaching for next year, to equip you and excite you. And I mean, I know I'm going to think of a million for the rest of the day, but those are content related, so I can save them. All right. So next week we will dig into content with math, reading, writing. And it seems like something else that we're going to touch on. Just thinking, I think it is.
Yeah.
So get ready, people. We're going to try to excite you more.
Yeah, more books, lots of books. All right. And I promise to take pictures of Laura's books, because it's classic, man. It is so good what she does with a book. It makes borrowing a book very easy.
Well, yeah.
Because I can go, oh, this is what Laura thought, which Ashley Ezell used to do that to me. I would say, yeah, I'm going to read this book, and she'd go, just highlight what I need to know. Yeah. And I did, and made notes.
No need for cliff notes. It's
no.
Notes,
so. No, yeah. All right.
Well,
have a good rest of your day or rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye, guys.